May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As you listen to Jesus' parable today, what perspective did you imagine this story from? Pause to think for a moment. As you heard the telling, which character did you most identify with? Who did you most relate to in the parable? When we read this story in my pastor's group earlier this week, almost to a person, the pastors felt that they identified with the elder son. The elder son. I see some nods out there, so maybe some of you kind of felt like the elder son in this story too. The big brother, of course, who was left back at home, who felt as if he was slaving away for his father while the little brother was off squandering his inheritance. Now, it makes sense that our pastors would have identified with the elder brother because Jesus told this story to send a message to the religious folks of his day. The Pharisees and the scribes who are grumbling at the story's start are religious insiders. They are in the club. They are the religious elite of Jesus' day. And as the gospel reading tells us, these folks were upset that Jesus was socializing, teaching, spending time with those who are outside the fold, with tax collectors and with sinners and with others who were unlike them. That grumbling is what prompts Jesus to tell not just one, but three parables, of which the prodigal son is third. This is the three of the 1-2-3 knockout punch that Jesus is trying to give them. And it is a remarkable story. The trouble begins when the younger brother asks for his inheritance early. Now, when do you usually receive an inheritance? When do you usually get an inheritance? When someone's died. The son is saying to his father, "Well, Dad, you might as well be dead and gone. I want what's coming to me now." And he goes off to a far country and squanders what he's inherited. We don't actually know what he does or how he wastes his money, but we know he squanders it in that far-off place. And he gets himself into such a state that he's starving, he's hungry to feed himself even with the food that the pigs are eating, which is a real marker of how low this guy has fallen for a Jewish audience who hears pigs and thinks unclean. So he decides to go back to his father, and he has this speech. He rehearses this speech. Can't you just see him walking along the road? "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Father, I've sinned against..." And he's practicing it, and he's going. He's going back to his father. He rehearses this speech. But the second the father sees him far off, he runs. He runs to meet him. And running is not something that was proper or becoming for the head of a household, for an older gentleman in Jesus' day. But the father cannot help himself. He runs. He meets him, and the son goes into that rehearsed speech, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you," but he can't get it out. The father cuts him off. He's overjoyed at his son's return. There's no punishment, no anger, no even justifiable scolding for what he's done, just love, 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 love for the one who was lost and is now found. And that brings us to the elder son. That brings us to our pastor friends and how they reacted to this story, because this is not only this parable of the prodigal son who was lost and then found. This is also the parable of the prodigal son who stayed at home, but was truly lost. Because the word prodigal means wasteful. Now, the younger son has wasted his inheritance in a distant land, and when the older son hears about it, he's quick to guess at what heinous things his little brother has been up to. His father leaves the joyous celebration. He leaves all this excitement and enthusiasm at the return of his younger son to go out into the darkness and the cold, the dreariness outside that party, to be with his older son. And yet the elder son seeks to cut at his heart. "This son of yours," he spits. He doesn't even want to claim him as his brother anymore. For all these years, these are the words, though. These are the words that would really cut at his father's heart. "For all these years, I have been working like a slave for you. Yet you've never even given me a small party to celebrate with my friends." "Like a slave?" the father might ask. "All these years, you felt like my slave, child?" "No, no, no, no. You are my son, my baby, my beloved. You were never my slave. You were always with me, and my love never departed from you for even a moment. Why have you chosen to live like this? Like an angry, bitter man slaving away for an inheritance that was freely given?" The elder son in this story is the prodigal son, too. Maybe even more so, because his wastefulness is not resolved by the story's end. The elder son has wasted, has squandered the precious gift of his father's unconditional love. In the end, this story is not only about two prodigal sons, because you can't have sons without a father, right? This is also the parable of a father who makes hard choices. A father who could have been righteously angry, who could have written his younger son off the moment he left home, who could have declared him dead to the family, who could have rejected him upon return, or even who still would have been considered compassionate, not even fair, but compassionate for taking him on as a hired hand. And this father could have allowed the other son to sit outside that party in the dark and the dreary cold and pout by himself, to have his own pity party, to sit and stew in that misery of his own making. The father could have chosen to have power over his children in any of these ways, but he doesn't. He has decided that to compel his children to proper obedience is to lose them. Rather, the father chooses to exercise his power in love. His love that pursues both prodigal sons to the very end, that never gives up on bringing both of them back into the fold, into the party, into his kingdom. And so it is with our God. The one who tells us this story of two wasteful children and their father's extravagant love, he will himself choose the same power. A short time later, Jesus will hang on a cross, mocked for his lack of power, made fun of, taunted. Yet he will continue to choose to express all his power in his loving heart rather than by compelling others to obedience or servitude. He too has not judgment, but unbridled joy for any one of his children who returns. Because joy is the only possible response for the father of our parable today. In his pleading with that elder son out in the darkness, outside the party, the father seeks to help that elder son let go of judgment, to let go of what he thinks is fair, and to instead cultivate joy. Deep, true, unbridled, genuine joy Because if this son is actually part of the family, if this son truly knows his father and truly loves his father, there can be no judgment for the lost brother. There can only be unbridled joy at his return, because he loves the father, and the father loves his brother, and he knows what deep gladness such a reunion will bring for the whole family. Do we know God, the Father? Then the return of one lost one, the presence of one obvious sinner, the prayer of one unlikely person, the faith of one doubter, it can bring us nothing then but joy. And yet, us pastors, we still felt like the elder brother. What does that say about our church? Do we still fall into that way of thinking time and again? Are we able to welcome the one who's been away from our communion for some time with genuine gladness when they walk in the door? Or do we ask, where have they been? When we see our brother still far off, do we run? Do we go to meet them where they are and to take care of them? Or do we say, they'll come to us when they're ready? Do we see the needs of our sister and clothe her with robe and ring and put sandals on her feet before even asking a question? Or do we wonder, why can't she handle this for herself? Shouldn't she be taking care of this? When has judgment gotten in the way of our joy as the people of God? When are we the elder brother? When have we squandered our father's freely given gift of love and grace? Because the gift, it's freely given to each of us too. Can we take it and rejoice? Or must we try really hard to slave away and earn something that's already been freely given? Judging others by whether or not they have earned something that no one, after all, can actually earn. As children of our Heavenly Father, our power is the power of love too. A love that is nothing but unbridled joy for the return of any prodigal child. A love that seeks to serve others rather than be served. A love that sparks genuine compassion for those who have been lost. A love that feeds lives of true, deep joy. Joy for the inheritance we have received. Joy for the lost one who turns to accept it. When we are the prodigal one who has wandered to squander our inheritance, and when we are the prodigal one who has stayed at home and who misunderstood what the inheritance was all about, the Father still continues to wait for us, running after us, calling after us, pursuing us with nothing but a tender, loving heart and pleading words, inviting us into his joy, into his party, into the celebration alongside all our siblings. Might we too learn to embrace that gift and celebrate it with all our sisters and brothers, those lost and those found. Thanks be to God. Amen.